Hello, everyone tuning in. Welcome back to another episode of John's Basement Podcast / Radio Show. I don't know what to fucking call it anymore. It's like, it's cool. It's a good problem. It really is. It's like, I say John's Basement Podcast because I upload this as a podcast to Spotify and Anchor.fm and Quadio and what have you. But like, it's also on the radio on air. So like, it's both and neither. No, it's not neither. It's definitely both. Yeah. So I apologize if you hear a humming in the background. I really don't know if you can hear it, but that would be my washer dryer combo doing some laundry because I'm about to go on vacation. This week's episode has been recorded in advance for once. Going to be an awesome episode this week. I went over borders again. We got two Australian bands on this week's episode, and we actually have a band from my own college of Pace University, so that's epic. We'll get into that. We're gonna do a deep dive. So basically, we're gonna start on international waters. I love it. Big shout out to my new friends in Australia. I love your music scene. I really do. And I don't know if I'm ever going to realistically get to play a show in Australia, at least in the near future, but if I do, I would love to be on a bill with you guys. So the first band that I'm actually going to be playing is a band called Jettison, and this is a track called In the Wrong. I'm actually going to give some preface because I know I didn't really explain this to them, but if they're listening to this, I'm sure they'd like to know. The way I found these guys is really cool. I actually got an ad for last week's episode for the band that I played. Oh my god, the song was called Ode, the Max Headroom. And I looked at the Max Headroom's Spotify page because I really was into their music. I really like it. And I saw they have an artist playlist that has a bunch of other bands from Adelaide, Australia. So I'm like, whoa, that's like a goldmine for me, someone who's always looking for independent music. So I'm like, wow, okay. So through that playlist, I found like a bunch of different bands, some way larger, some middle scale, some larger than me, and some who are at my level, and some even smaller. So it's really cool. It's a really nice mix of just every level of bands, and I think the only criteria for that playlist was that they were new and from Australia, which is cool. So yeah, that's how I found these guys. I really dig it. I really do. It's a really cool sound. I think the music scene there is very interesting, and it's very unique. So to reiterate, this song is called In the Wrong by a band from Adelaide, Australia called Jettison. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Cause there's something right.
Once again, that was Jettison with their track In the Wrong, all the way from Adelaide, Australia. Hope you guys are enjoying the broadcast. And I hope you guys are, I don't know, what's the music situation in Australia right now? I live in America where common sense and science are political beliefs. So I don't think I'm going to be playing a show anytime soon, but I don't know. Some countries have severely, but like impressively reduced the number of COVID cases to almost zero. So I don't know. Maybe you guys are farther ahead on the scale. Let me know, actually. I might DM you guys about that. That's actually, I'm very interested into that. Like, how far are you guys along with dealing with COVID? Is the music scene starting to open up? Is it safe to be with people again? I don't know. Because in this country, it's a shit show, and it's only going to get worse. You know, though, the one great thing, the only great thing I look about at how fucked up this country is right now, in politics, in health, in everything, whether Biden, whether Trump wins the election, I don't give a shit, because I know this fact remains constant. I just want to disclaim, I do give a shit who wins, and I think it's pretty obvious who I care about winning. But whoever wins the election, I think it's safe to say punk music is going to be so fucking good for the next 4 years. Like, that's the only positive I can find in this. I'm trying to look for the light in the cracks. There's not much light. There's not much light. But punk music is going to kick ass for the next 4 years. And it's interesting. I'm already seeing it start. We got, like, leftist punk, which is kind of what punk is. It's progressive punk. If you really are a punk band and you don't support, like, equality and justice for people, you're not really a punk. You're a piece of shit that just likes loud music. But with that being said, I have seen very conservative punk groups start to form. They use the term punk loosely because they don't really know what the genre is about. But it's interesting. I saw an advertisement for, this is pretty old, but like I think it's worth mentioning because I think it's the funniest thing in the world. It's for a band that says, "We are a right-wing Rage Against the Machine-esque band looking for a singer." Now, first of all, how are you going to make a band with the vibe of Rage Against the Machine, whose namesake is about rebelling against, like, the status quo? Like, that's hilarious to me. I think that's actually the funniest thing in the world. But also, knowing that, like, the singer is a Latino man and the guitarist is not a white man, like, you guys are basing your entire band off of just setting yourself up for being the funniest laughingstock of the music millennium. It's amazing. I hope they found their singer. I do. I hope they found their singer. I hope they recorded a whole fucking album. I want to listen to that album, and I will laugh the entire time. I've been looking for something to laugh at lately, and I think a conservative Rage Against the Machine would be the funniest thing in the world that would get me in stitches. I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. So if anyone knows what that conservative Rage Against the Machine is up to, please email me at jmftmedia@gmail.com. I would love to hear it. Please, somebody, come through with that link. But that's beside the point. I hope you guys like my rants, because I know I'm a piece of shit. I know I'm annoying. I hear myself talk sometimes when I listen to these broadcasts when they're aired, and I'm like, wow, does anyone listen to me? I wouldn't. But regardless, we still have the platform, so we're still going to keep talking. This next band is another band from Australia, and same way I found them through that playlist on the artist page for the Max Headroom. Shout out to those guys. Absolutely check them out. This band is called Choosing Sides. This is their track, Transmit. It's a banger. Enjoy.
Out.
Hope you guys enjoyed that once again. That was another band all the way from Adelaide, Australia. That was Transmit by a band called Choosing Sides. Absolutely check them out. Support them on Spotify and whatever other platforms you can find them on. DMing back and forth with them for the past few days. They're really cool, very sweet people, and I would love to work more with them in the future, whether through this show or through my band or what have you. I want in. I want to be part of the cool kid club of Australia. I think that sounds awesome to me. But, yeah, so that's going to bring me into one last artist to plug today. And I was, this is my, my weekly Quadio plug. I was scrolling through, the Quadio. And Quadio is this awesome feature where, so when you sign up through Quadio, you sign up through your college email. So I was, obviously I'm registered through Pace, so it says new at your school, which I didn't realize we had. That was really cool. And, I found this band called Sunny, which is really cool. It is a duo of these awesome songwriters. I forget where the other one is from, but I know one of them goes to Pace. And this is a song called Sprung. It is on Spotify. It's on Quadio. Check it out. Really awesome song. I hope you guys enjoy it because I love it. I listened to it like 5 times today. So this song is called Sprung by Sunny. Enjoy.
You want.
actually, I'm feeling bold today. I think for this episode, I'm gonna plug one more artist. That's right. We're doing four this week. Picture this. You're me. Already, you can't picture it. But picture this. You're me scrolling through TikTok. I'm going to say I hate people being harsh on TikTok. You're not edgy. Get over yourself. It's fun. It's so fun. I was one of you once, you know. I used to bastardize TikTok, but lo and behold, I am addicted now. So here I am scrolling through TikTok, and I found an awesome artist to plug from South Dakota, making this my first artist from South Dakota, which is pretty sick. So this artist's name is Seal Stoll. She is from South Dakota, and this track that she has up that I'm going to play for you is actually only available on Bandcamp. So I highly encourage you to support and buy it on Bandcamp. Bandcamp, it's like $1 to do it, and Bandcamp I like because Bandcamp directly supports artists way more than your streams will. If you spend $1 on a song on Bandcamp, an artist will make way more of that dollar than we'll ever see on streaming services. I personally am on streaming services because I don't know, I don't really I've kind of surrendered to the idea of not making money off of my music, which kind of sucks, but that's just where I'm at. But if you know artists who are on Bandcamp and you want to support artists, absolutely support them on Bandcamp first. It's okay to stream. It's probably more convenient for you if that's how you listen to music more, but you can also buy a song on Bandcamp just to have it in your music library because that's awesome. Help artists out. And actually, this is a very selfless thing here. All of the money that comes from this track goes to the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, and that's pretty damn cool. So this song is called Everything Falls by Seal Stoll. It is currently the only song under her name for this current moment. All of the money goes to the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, so you should absolutely check it out. You should absolutely support, donate to it, buy this track, support local music. This is my last song for the episode, for real this time, technically. Hope you guys dig it.
The smoke fills up the room. I know what I'm gonna do. The flames climb up the walls, and I'm getting out before everything falls on my head. It's always on my head.
Speaking. Hello, welcome back to John's Basement interview section of the podcast. This is gonna be a shorter one because I put in a fourth song for this episode, but you know what, we can just keep talking, and if I have to cut and edit, I'll take the best moments. All right, so I'm joined here on my lovely studio with my bassist. You know him, you acknowledge him, Ginger Bulletproof Mike Simon.
Hey John, thanks for having me back on the show. That was a ridiculously awful intro.
And today we are going to be talking about how we think the music scene is going to be infected by the current state of the world and what our responsibilities as musicians are to contributing to social causes such as the Black Lives Matter movement and just any humanitarian issue in general. I'm going to start us off with saying, Mike, when do you think, not timeline-wise, but like, what do you think are the restrictions that we as musicians are going to need for a safe comeback for shows?
I don't think any outdoor show that's not a drive-in show is feasible at all. Like, I think even if you say you, like, will social distance outside in standing room, it's hard to enforce. And have you ever just, like, been at a concert and, like, you find yourself, like, a couple steps closer to the stage without, like, having moved? Like, you just unknowingly did it?
Absolutely.
Like, that's totally going to happen, like, at shows. I don't think indoor shows will exist. I've seen a few like socially distant indoor shows, which is so stupid.
Yeah,
and I think any band that does that like sucks, and like you don't deserve to have like a career in music and anything. You just like put people at risk for your own songs, which really, like, if you're putting people at risk for that,
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think you have a responsibility to your fan base as well as to yourselves and to the state of the world. If you are willingly putting your fans, people who support you, people who love you, or people that potentially are going to support you and love you, and you are putting them at risk in a small enclosed environment when there is still a global pandemic, that is so irresponsible that you should not be allowed to do that.
Yeah, like, I agree.
It, like, there should not be Twitter announcements and Instagram posts about we're doing this show at this club at this date. I feel so bad because I have our friends that we have played shows with in the past are DMing me like, oh, we're playing it by ear. We're potentially trying to plan a show in late August or early September. What do you think? And I tell them the same thing every time. I'm like, listen, man, I appreciate you for thinking about us and I respect you, but I am not booking a show until there is a COVID vaccine. Until there is some sort of a medical treatment that we have in concrete, FDA-approved level that we, like, can safely do that without it being a danger to ourselves and to the people around us, and especially to the people that are coming to our shows. I want to make sure that if people are coming to my show, they are not at risk, like, medically, physically, in any sense, like, any sense of the word. And I think that's a basic thing before the pandemic. Like, I absolutely love when bands in the past have been like, this is a safe zone. If anyone gropes a girl at my concert, kick them out of here. If anybody punches someone over, like, misstepping, get them out of here. Like, you go to a concert to have a good time. You should not be in danger doing that. And
I agree.
As an artist and a performer, I'm not fucking with the thought of, like, packing people in a small club when there's no vaccine. Knowing that people don't wear masks, even if everyone wears a mask, it's still dangerous because all it takes, one person goes to a bathroom in a small dive bar, and everyone who has been to a local music concert knows that dive bar bathrooms are a different breed. Yeah. I don't think it is possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible. I think live stream shows are, like, this best option, but it doesn't give the same like energy to both performer and the audience. Like I was talking about, drive-in shows, I think are the second best option. And like a lot of countries around the world, like they do them a lot in Australia. And there were some the other weekend, like last weekend in Toms River, New Jersey. And they're so tight, but then that also, I say that second best like option, just because then you get people who don't live together, you know, going in the same car, not everyone drives, and it's like, right, you can still potentially spread it that way.
Right.
It's the best live alternative, but it's not the best alternative.
Right. I think the best thing with the drive-in show is it allows the band. That's tough too, because like you and I are moving in together in like a month. And I are fine. You and I can be within a couple of inches of each other because we live together.
Yes, but not that we are.
Right, but distance. Like if we were to be on stage together, like it for you and me personally, that would be fine because we're roommates.
Yeah.
But us with Jake, we don't live with Jake.
Yeah,
so
we don't live with
it's
Jake.
Also scary for the sake that like, oh, so now bandmates are putting themselves at risk. I'm going to say it right now. If any of the three of us get sick, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Because that we're out. Like we can't do anything as a band. I'm concerned for my bandmates as friends and as a person. And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Expect a lot of live streams from our dorm, but
yeah,
like
that's
the extent of really what I think anything should be going on live. And I know it sucks. That's like it pisses me off that people are like, oh, but I'm just so bored and I'm so tired of the pandemic. I'm like, yeah, the pandemic doesn't give a shit,
man. Like I hate people who are like, oh, I'm over it. Like that's so cool. You know who's not over it? The virus.
Exactly.
Like any of the people who've died. Like it,
right.
No one cares about how like you feel and if you're over it. People have like a responsibility for the world to stay home and be safe, and people like they're not doing it. And I know for a fact when the second wave hits, because right now we're on a little bit of a calm down, like in New York where we live. There are a lot of areas that are
it's definitely gonna rise, but right now we're
but it's gonna it's gonna skyrocket in the fall and in the winter, and I'm gonna look for the people who didn't social distance, and I'm gonna keep a note of them in my head, posting everyone needs to social distance, and I'm gonna put them on blast, like their DMs. I'm gonna be like, you are part of the problem. I'm not single-handedly blaming you, but you are part of the problem. Yeah. And I think this like it extends to music because you see people being like, oh, I miss live concerts. You're like even planning like live concerts. Like everyone misses live concerts.
Right.
There's nothing like being at a live concert. Anyone who likes music will tell you that.
Right.
But it's not feasible to do it now. And the reason other countries have been doing so well, despite like their size relative to America, is because the people there understand that like they need to like put the world in front of themselves. And that's like a problem of like American society. Like we're all fueled by our own egos that like our wants and our needs, even we put those first ahead of other people. And it's like it's a serious problem.
And we were talking about it earlier. I think one of the scariest thoughts that is a legitimate probable fear is that while all the other countries in the world are getting better with COVID and kicking America's ass, it is so scary to know that there are going to be upper middle class, upper class people from America that are going to say, well, there's festivals happening in England, there's festivals happening in Germany, and they're going to be like, well, I'm going to hop on a plane, I didn't social distance for the past month, and I'm going to go to that concert, and they're going to bring COVID with them to other countries.
Yeah, it's what's going to happen. What's going to have to happen is every country is going to need to close their borders, and we're all going to need to enforce like a stay-at-home effect like they were having in Italy.
Right. We should have done that, honestly. But it's like the problem is America has too much of American pride to ever put anyone else ahead of itself.
Yeah.
So moving on to another issue that music, I think, pertains to and how we as musicians in Spitfire are considering the Black Lives Matter movement that is currently happening and sweeping this country is a legitimate issue. And I want to talk about that. I think you are the perfect person to have this conversation with because we talk about this a lot. Anyone who listened to my episode last week would have heard a demo release of our new song coming out on July 31st called Your America. Your America will be a single by Spitfire, our band. However, we are looking at it more as an extension of the Black Lives Matter movement. We want this to be an outlet for us doing our part. So I want to talk about to any musicians that listen to this. I have a feeling that most of the people that listen to my podcast are also musicians. So if you are a musician, you release your own music, you write music, listen to these words. If you are writing a song, consider writing a song about what's happening right now. Music is one of the most powerful things. It predates so many things in this world. Music is one of the first things the cavemen figured out. started making sounds with their throats, and look at that. Music lived on to today. Everybody listens to music. Everybody has a playlist of some sort. Consider writing a song about this movement, because what we're trying to do, we're trying to make awareness raised through our outlet. People, we don't have 100,000 fans, but we have at least 500 plus followers on Instagram. So when we talk about the Black Lives Matter movement and the importance of it, especially because we are a band fronted by a man of color, myself, it's important, because if we're raising awareness for it, yeah, we don't have 1,000 people plus following it, but 500 people will at least potentially see it. That's maybe, of those 500 people, if 3 of them go and click on a petition in our bio or read something, I would say that's an accomplishment. And also, can you talk about the shirts thing that we want to do? Because that's more your idea, and I really like it.
Yeah, so I've seen, along with you, John, I've seen a lot of bands doing limited run, like, merch for Black Lives Matter, for the movement. And it's all, buy it, and we will donate 100% of the proceeds to a Black charity. And I thought that was so important. And I've been supporting where I can. You know, I've been donating, like, when I can, but I always sign petitions. But I saw a band do it. Just another, like, donate and we'll send you something, or buy this and put 100% of the money into a donation. I thought, what if we, like, made a shirt, as, like, an easy shirt that we can screen print for a, like, made as you buy. So it's a limited run. If 10 people buy the shirt, only 10 ever get made. And it's got the Black Power Fist. And it says, "This is your America" on it. And it's simple, it's easy, but it sends a message. And 100% of the proceeds would be going to Black charities and various bail funds. Because people are still getting arrested for going to protest, which is so ridiculous, that the fact that we have a government that can arrest you for going to protest, that people need to blur out faces in, like, photographs they post.
Legitimately,
or you need to cover your face. Yes. It's sickening. But, like, that whole thing aside, I wanted to make these shirts, and they're very simple. I'm not an artist. I went into Photoshop for about 5 minutes and put it all together. And there was another one that said, instead of "This is your America," it said, "This dog kills fascists." But we're not going to print those. It's just "This is your America." It's simple. It's easy. And I want to get it out there.
I like it. It's responsible. Yeah. I was doing, last semester for one of my assignments, we had to read in my English class, like, this little article about being a good neighbor and how that affects business. I don't care about the business aspect for this, though. As a person, we should all be a good neighbor. It is so easy not to discriminate someone based off of their sexual orientation or identity, not to discriminate someone based off of the color of their skin or what country they originate from, whether or not is this country. I think that xenophobia is one of the most foreign ideologies to me. I do not understand it. I have tried. I try to understand it, but it doesn't click in my head that people are so full of their own country, on their own stubborn pride, that an imaginary line drawn by some guy with a partition pen, that's what differentiates someone's value. And that's ridiculous to me. You have an imaginary line with an unfinished wall that our president didn't even finish. So any of you who voted for him for that wall, you got played. An imaginary line, an unfinished wall, and a fence, and a bunch of self-entitled pricks with rifles. And if you are born on the other side of that fence, there are people in this country who devalue that person's existence just because of that.
Dude, borders don't exist. Ridiculous.
Borders are an imaginary man-made concept to give one country a distinct boundary between another country. However, I'm going to compare to the UK. One of the things that I admire about the UK is that you can take a train from one country to the next country. Now, I understand the UK has relatively small countries compared to the US. US, it's big. I understand that. But technologically speaking, you could take a train
to Canada or to Mexico. The difference is our attitude towards that. Taking a train from one country to the other country is a tourist attraction in, like, Europe. Taking a train or any means of transportation from Mexico to America to some is treason.
Yeah. No, it's so, like, it's so stupid. Like I said it before, borders don't exist. The only time they exist are on islands, because those are literal, like, natural made borders. There are no borders between states. There are no borders between, like, landlocked countries. Like, it is all land. And we were all one big clump of land anyway.
Right.
Like, there are, the fact that, like, dudes just, like, made lines is fucking obnoxious. Like, who gives a shit? Like, none of this is that important. Like, we will die. Like, humans will die out. And the borders we make will mean nothing.
Yep.
And borders change. In some cases,
they will shrivel apart and disconnect from the landmass that they are connected to in several different areas throughout the world.
Exactly. You know, California is, like, slowly moving.
We're losing, like, California. Like,
3,000 years, that border means nothing.
I heard somewhere, I forget which country it was, man, but there is somewhere in a different part of the world where a country is starting to branch off from its landmass and is going to create a new ocean in 5 to 10 million years. But that's kind of sick.
No, that is kind of sick. You got me kind of excited. I was like, oh, we're going to have a new ocean in our lifetime?
That would be so sick, though. But nah. So, like, as a musician, to tie it back to that relative concept, because we kind of tangented off. But musicians, I think, and I think any entertainer, anyone with a platform of any influence to any level, has a responsibility to promote acceptance and inclusion and to speak out against hate. We are trying to do our part. We are releasing a song that is highlighting a lot of the issues with racism in this country. Xenophobia being there too. I put in some stuff against the unnecessary Muslim Islamophobia that is rampant in this country. It's so unfortunate that this country likes to stereotype people and generalize people, because it's easy to do that. And people like it easy. People don't like thinking. People don't like when any... Like, and I think about this a lot when I talk to people who are adults that even I might care about who just don't understand this stuff. You have an adult, and they went through their entire life having their idea of what the world was like. And then another generation comes. It's not their generation. It's younger than them. So an adult likes to think that the younger generation hasn't seen the world like they have. But what they forget is that the younger generation is seeing issues that directly pertain to them that don't pertain to the older generations as much anymore. Not to say that older people can't understand it, but it's an interesting concept. Because in every generation's lifetime, there will be issues that are more relevant. And in our generation's lifetime, us being Gen Z, debatably young millennials, that's a whole concept. I think we're Gen Z. But
I agree.
It's crazy to think for, and I understand it. I'm trying to empathize with the people that oppose this movement. People don't like being told that their entire perception of the world is wrong and different from what they have been fed their entire lives. I understand that is hard. Though, the problem with that is that it's hard. It shouldn't be hard. It's difficult sometimes to accept that reality is not what you make of it. However, we as a culture, a progressive, like, modern, technologically advanced and scientific nation and society, we need to do better on saying you can be wrong and that doesn't make you a bad person. What makes you a bad person is refusing to believe facts that show that there are issues in this world.
Yeah.
Music, I think, is powerful because people can listen to a band and really like that band. And if you really like that band and you listen to a song that they release about a cause that they are so passionately singing about with real conviction in their words, I believe that hopefully some people might be inclined to research the lyrics at the very least and see the references. I purposely put a bunch of names. The sad thing is, all the names that I said in that bridge for Your America, they're all names of police brutality victims, people of color, most of them black. And the sad thing is, there were so many more names that I couldn't fit.
Yeah.
It is so sad that I looked up a list of names of the recent ones. I threw in some ones from the beginning of the the movement, considering Michael Brown and Eric Garner,
yes,
who was killed by an NYPD officer who put him into an illegal chokehold. It is so sad that there are so many names, there are so many stories of police brutality victims that it is hard to keep up with them. It is hard to keep track. And if I'm writing a song, I can't even say all of their names within my time frame.
Yeah. What's the thing? I think I read the other day there's like 594, like, between like being, between like beatings and like murderings. There's, murdering isn't a word. Murders, there's like 594 victims of police brutality every single year. I'm like, that might be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but it's like some absurd
number.
Gotta
be in the ballpark, though. The sad thing, I think, and I don't know if this is an America thing, I don't know if this is a humanity thing, but the problem that happens when you politicize human rights violations is, and you start to look at people as statistics. If 500 unarmed people of color are murdered by law enforcement, that's not a number. That's more than a number. Those are 500 individuals with families who they will never see again. A lot of the time, that is young people who will not get to live their future. Many times, people with promising futures. Michael Brown was going to go to a school. He graduated high school. He was on his way to higher education, and he was murdered. His future was taken from him by someone who cannot accept other people.
Yeah.
And people who can't accept other people should not have the power to protect the lives of anyone. I don't understand why it's so fucking easy to become a police officer in this country. Other countries don't do that, and they have no killings. Relatively none compared to the U.S. In America, a doctor whose primary job is to save lives has to go to college, graduate school, and doctor school. To a cop whose primary job is to save lives, same job description as a doctor, they have to graduate high school and choose not to go to college, and they can do it. And they train for like 2 months.
Yep.
And they hold guns, and they have all the power.
Because the country, like the United States, values like guns more than they value like knowledge. Like, same thing goes for the military. Like, you can get like scooped up from the military when you're like 16. You can start doing ROTC like when you're 16. Then there's, I read the other day, I can't like remember the source, but there's like a disproportionate amount of people that joined the army from low income neighborhoods, primarily from people of color, because it was like promised as a way out, which is another problem with like the United States and like its excessive use of force.
Yep.
I think, I don't know, to tie it back to musical, like what we're talking about, I don't think human rights should be political.
Agreed.
But unfortunately it is. And I think everyone, like regardless of like where you are and who you are, I think everyone has, like, living is political. To breathe is political. Even as like, as like a man of color, like a white man, like a woman, like if you're anybody, like you have political opinions, you can't not be active in politics, especially politics of human rights. So I think everyone should be putting out information constantly about it, and everyone should be fighting for equality, because at the end of the day, like I said, I was going to tie this back to music, so I promise I will. At the end of the day, so much of like what everyone consumes daily is created by people of color. Rock music was created by people of color. Rap music that white boys can go say the N-word to was created by people of color. There are a few things, if any, in this country that were not, like, if not created, heavily influenced by people of color. Like music, if you like music, if you've listened to a song, you owe that to people of color.
Yep. And that's just about our time. That was a perfect ending, too.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Mike. Thank you for your thoughts on this conversation. I'm going to plug our new song, Your America, at the end of this little segment right here. Please, when the song officially drops, make sure to stream it and share it with your friends. And if we are in your general vicinity, if we know you, or if you just send us your email or not your email, your actual mailing address. We can try to mail a shirt to you.
Please. Yes.
Support this cause. The Black Lives Matter movement is not over. It has not accomplished everything it needs to yet, so do not get tired and stop supporting it. We are trying to do our part as a band, as other bands should be doing, and as other bands have responsibility to do. Wear a fucking mask. It is not a fucking hoax. If you think a global pandemic that is affecting other countries throughout the world is a hoax, you are proving Darwinism to be a valid theory, and he is 100% correct. Stay safe, everybody. Do not go to live concerts yet. And that is our two cents. This has been me, John from Spitfire, Michael Bulletproof Simon from Spitfire.
Have Black a Lives lovely, Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Have a lovely, safe evening. Thank you, guys. Once again, that was an interview with my bassist and best friend, Michael Simon, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and the importance of addressing racism in this country and combating it. And in addition to that, also the severity of doing live concerts in the age of a pandemic. Don't do it. It's irresponsible. It's not safe. And you're a bad entertainer if you are purposely putting your fans at risk. Yeah, in addition to that, I'm going to play this whole episode out with another stream of our demo for our upcoming song called Your America. Please heed the words. Once it officially drops on July 31st, it will be released with lyrics. So listen as best as you can for now, but they will be out. Stay safe, everyone.
It's a time of revelation in the age of free information. We aren't talking about segregation.